WCRS 98.3, 102.1. This is Solartopia Fight Back with Harvey Wasserman, Shoshana Wasserman, Bob Fitrakis, and Connie Goodell Newton.
All right. We are here live from the hub of the universe. We're having an intergenerational show tonight. Our special guest is Shoshana Faith Wasserman, who is how old are you, Shoshana?
11 years and 3 days.
11 years and 3 days old. So we want your view.
I can't believe it. I knew her when she was 10.
Time flies. So we knew, Shoshana, we want your opinion on what's happening in the Gulf of Mexico. Can you tell us what you feel about this horrible gusher of oil that's happening?
I think that it's really bad, and I think that it should be a law that the gas stations should have to make a plan in case it explodes, that they have a plan to clean it up.
Okay, well, but they should actually not be allowed to have those explosions at all. Is that correct?
Yes, but it should be a law that they have to make a plan to clean it up.
Now, what should we do with the owners of British Petroleum who have caused this? What do you think should happen to them?
I think they should have to clean it all up.
By themselves.
I'm thinking rum sodomy in the lash.
Do you think they should be criminally prosecuted?
What does prosecuted mean?
Like sent
put in
to jail?
Should
they be sent to jail?
No. Put it means put on trial.
Well, should they have a trial? And if they're found guilty of, I don't know. I mean, what's the crime here?
I'm thinking tarring and feathering. Isn't tar oil-based, Harvey?
Yeah, well, tarring's already a little redundant, don't you think? So let's say there are 10 major owners of BP. How many of these 10 should be stuffed in the hole?
What does stuffed in the hole mean?
Just put in the hole to use them to stop the oil from leaking.
It's a pretty practical sentence.
But what
right?
does that mean?
It means that it's probably not going to happen. That's what we call capital punishment. That means that they're executed for their crime. So it's a misnomer to call it a spill. It's definitely a gusher is what's happening there. The pressure is enormous on this oil coming out of the earth, and at this point in time, we see no particular prospect for them stopping. Is that right?
Yes. I think that they should have to go down there in swimming suits. Well, in girls' swimming suits if they're boys. And then clean it up themselves.
Why girls swimming suits if they're boys?
Because then you can laugh at them.
So it's humiliating.
Yeah, well, especially like a mile down, right? How deep are they? About a mile down, right?
They're a ways down, yeah.
Now you'll notice that today they turned away James Cameron. James Cameron, the producer of Avatar and of Titanic.
Titanic.
Is actually one of the world's leading experts on deep sea diving. Just as a vocation, and his expertise is probably greater than that of BP, and they turned him away, and he called them a bunch of idiots, and the government is refusing to stand up to BP, as far as I can tell.
How could BP in international waters turn him away?
Yeah, maybe they think they're Netanyahu or something.
What they've claimed this, they now have sovereignty over that space?
Apparently, yes. Well, of course, yeah, as you recall in the beginning, they would not allow the government to go down there and film. I mean, who owns the Gulf, for God's sakes? And they have been very restrictive of the news media going into the area. What gives them the authority to do that? You're a lawyer,
nothing.
Bob.
What's well, your, no, under internet. I mean, they own the oil deposits, but they don't own the water.
Right.
I mean, they own the property, the oil platform, but, it's not like you can go in that area, particularly if there's no platform there anymore.
Well, here's a question for you, since you raised that issue. Who owns the oil? Now that the oil is running loose in the Gulf, whose property is that oil?
Well, I believe by the law of the seas, it's actually abandoned oil.
Abandoned. Okay, so
is it whoever but captures it? Is it does it fall under the capture rule?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, so whoever captures it, it's free to whoever sucks it up, I guess.
Well, I've seen a lot of media that says that they had a big spill on the other side of the world there, I think in the Persian Gulf a few years ago, and they took these tankers, and the tankers, they pump the water through the tankers and are able to extract the oil through the tankers, and then these tankers just sit with it. But apparently this strategy was not employed. in this case. And, of course, you know, the water is rushing, washing up on the beaches. And we have, 50,000 troops in Okinawa, another 50,000 in Germany. And they're all sitting there doing nothing while the water, while the oil is washing up on the beaches. This is not really, a great deployment of our resources, as far as I can tell.
No, I mean, the broader question is, what could the government actually do if it attempted to? How many boats could it, where's Churchill?
Yeah.
I mean, this is our environmental Dunkirk.
Yeah, exactly.
We have a Navy, right?
And where is the Navy?
Would the Navy be responsible for that? I mean, it seems like...
The Navy should be there.
Right?
Well, the Coast Guard is actually responsible, but there's nothing that says you can't send in your Navy.
Right.
You can't...
It seems like the Navy would
be... You can actually commandeer... In an emergency, private boats. And,
seems like the Navy's a shoo-in for this situation, right?
Well, I got to say, Obama's response has been pathetic. I mean, he really let him go for weeks. You know, obviously hesitant to get involved with a private corporation, and really hesitant to use the full force of the U.S. military to deal with this attack on our ecosystems. I mean, it's a catastrophe. And he has really been lame, even to the extent
Well, it shows how bad he is on eco-terrorists. BP should be considered
an eco-terrorist. Absolutely.
I think using the military for the purpose of cleaning up would be putting it to good use.
Absolutely.
As a pacifist, that's me speaking.
Well, that's exactly what they should be doing.
I think they should be using it to clean up environmental terrorism and environmental disasters.
Yeah, I wrote a piece to that effect in the Free Press about 3 weeks ago.
It seems like they'd be well-equipped.
They're in the wrong gulf. Our military is in the wrong gulf. And Obama's behavior has been so lackadaisical and deferential to the corporations. It's been catastrophic, I think.
It used to be laughable when they said this is Obama's Katrina, but he's managed to slowly and steadily, through incompetence, turn it into his Katrina.
He also managed to get the ultimate party loyalist, James Carville, who's just slavishly a Democrat, has been screaming with real passion because more than a Democrat, he's a cracker.
And, even more than that, he's a raging Cajun.
He's from Louisiana.
Is this guy?
He's a Cajun, man. He's a white
James Carville
descendant of French-speaking people. He's from the region. He's from the Bayous.
And you can see he's flipping out.
His land. Know. Those are his swamps,
that's right,
man.
That's right.
He's right. You know, just like Ron Guidry.
That's right. Well,
he's a raging Cajun.
Brett Favre, who's from down there in Alabama too. You know, I mean, these guys. I actually was quite. I thought it was pretty cool to see James Carville flipping out, because here you showed somebody with real passion, nonpartisan passion for actually a piece of the country. What a concept. And so, but I have to say that Obama has certainly underwhelmed all expectations in responding to this. And the other terribly fearful thing is that these idiots are now proposing, next week it's going to come up, appropriations, the House Appropriations Committee is going to take up an emergency military spending bill, and attached to this emergency military spending bill are $9 billion in loan guarantees for new nuclear plants. And as if, we've learned from the Deepwater Horizon that the military, the American government, and the owners of these facilities have absolutely no way of coping with certain situations that arise. Now they're going to turn around and build nuclear plants. And if you think that they were unprepared for an accident at a Deepwater oil...
Oh, yeah, that's going to be great.
But they won, Harvey. They thought about nuking it.
Yes, they're talking about nuking it now. What genius!
I heard about this.
They want to put a nuclear weapon down into the Gulf.
Is that a great idea or what?
And blow it up.
That way it'd be radioactive in sticky oil.
Yeah, well, then they'd be able to follow it, I suppose.
Oh my gosh!
Oh,
yeah,
no, these guys are psychotic.
So the oil that is probably going to end up in our entire water supply all over the world
would also be
radioactive. Will have nuclear waste in it.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh!
Well, that way it'll glow in the dark, so they can pick it up at night.
Easier to suck up.
Yeah.
So, but the complete
nightmare,
the complete inability to deal with a problem that has been licensed. I mean, that's part of the point. This is all licensed by the government on the presumption that the corporation running the show had some vague idea of what they were doing, And, you know, obviously nobody does.
I wish they did.
And they've proceeded. And the thing is, you know, people are going to try and say, well, this isn't Obama's fault. Well, the fact is that he bought into this before it happened because he had the temerity to present to the world a so-called climate bill that included increased offshore drilling.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know. Of course,
now they're saying, but that was only shallow drilling.
It wasn't. It's in fact, there were
deep
licenses
sea, right?
that
deep
were deeper
drilling, yeah.
than this one, for drilling deeper than this. So, no, it's not true at all.
So before there was drill, baby, drill.
Right. Well, he was
there
prepared.
Was deal, baby, deal.
Deal, baby, deal. Exactly right. And so we're tracking now to see if there is any money flowing from the Texas utility that wants to get these loan guarantees for the South Texas nuclear plant, which, by the way, is on the Gulf. Now, there's a serious question. The South Texas nuclear plant is at, I think, Seabrook or Bay City, somewhere in South Texas. It's on the Gulf of Mexico, and it sucks water from the Gulf of Mexico for cooling. Now, the question is, can you take water to cool any kind of power plant, be it coal or nuclear or whatever, that has oil in it? Are they going to be able to successfully filter this water for cooling to protect the function of the turbines in the plant? And it's a really serious question. And here they are going into Congress next week to get $6 billion for two reactors in Texas, another $3 billion for a reactor at Calvert Cliffs, which is 40 miles from Washington, D.C. These people have absolutely no idea what they're doing. The only good news, the only one piece of good news about the Deepwater Horizon is not a nuclear plant. If it was a nuclear plant, you know, God help us all.
Harvey Wasserman, not that excited about President Obama.
No, he's been really lame. He keeps getting worse. He's actually getting worse. As long as he's in office, I think he's getting worse.
And he hasn't been in that long. It's not even...
He's wearing down.
2 years. It's not even the midterm elections.
Right. And, you know, he's wearing down, obviously. But whatever charm he had is disappearing fast. And it's all old news. And, you know, he's certainly not effective. He really, as far as I'm concerned, Obama disappeared the day after he got the nomination for the Democratic candidacy for the President of the United States. I mean, it was an exciting moment. He was there in Grant Park. He had won the nomination on a very progressive ticket. And the next day, he started moving as far to the right as he possibly could. And he hasn't
stopped. Famed Richard Nixon strategy.
Right.
Run as far to the right or left as you can.
Right.
I think in the primary, then head like hell to the center.
Right.
Yeah. I think he's exceeded the expectations of a lot of like radicals on the left who thought that he would be conservative. So, underwhelming to some.
Right, right. Well, he's a total corporatist.
Yeah.
There's just no doubt about it.
Definitely.
There's been no, no particular excitement with his presidency for quite a while. That dissipated right away. The one, as we've said on this program before, the one promise he's kept is that he did say he would put an African American in the White House. And he's actually brought four into the White House.
Well, he's been half right on that.
Well, so to be fair, you guys, what do you think the effect of having Bush be the president before him is? I mean, Bush pretty much left the economy just on the brink of collapse. And then Obama happened to take over after that.
And continue Bush's policies with one of the largest bailouts in history to the banks.
Yeah.
Instead of giving the money to the credit unions, as right. Harvey and I argued, and giving it back to the neighborhoods, essentially he gave it to the bankers that destroyed the system and then invited them into his White House as policymakers.
Right, and nobody else. There have been no grassroots people that he'd been consulting with. And the same is true on the oil spill. He hasn't been consulting with anybody from the grassroots environmental movements. All the corporate guys, all the usual suspects.
Yeah, so it seems like he could have taken things in a different
direction
if he wanted to, even though he was left with, Bush's pretty bad legacy.
But to be fair to him, he did have an exit strategy from Iraq. That is surge in Afghanistan.
Right.
Okay.
Well, the ultimate test will be to see if they actually do Of course, the odds are diminishing if they actually do pull out of Afghanistan and Iraq one of these days. I love there was a piece on
But he has got rid of the permanent bases. He
changed. They're now enduring.
Enduring.
There was a very funny piece this week. There's a guy who writes funny stuff for the Huffington. And he noted that, we apparently killed the number three guy in Al-Qaeda.
For the seventh time.
Seventh time. Right? It's the seventh time the number three
guy. He was number 21. Seven times and number four nine times, he moved up from 21.
Right. So,
Success.
Success.
It's really pathetic. I mean, we are acting out the classic scenario of a dying empire. We just have no idea of how to pull back from this suicidal, global image. It's ridiculous. It's pathetic. And, that was one thing we thought maybe Obama would have the smarts to do. But so far, no one.
But empires all go the same way, Harvey. Bread, the circuses, and the decline. Sometimes quickly, like the Brits.
Yeah, they went down pretty fast.
But thank God they turned to rock and roll.
Yes, and Margaret Thatcher.
All right, I'd like to do a quick station ID and PSA. Okay. It's WCRS 98.3, 102.1. This is Fight Back, Solartopia, with Bob Fitrakis, Harvey Wasserman, Shoshi Wasserman, and me, Connie Goodell-Newton. And quick public service announcement. I'd encourage people to stop by the Third Hand Bicycle Co-op on Fifth Avenue. It's 174 Fifth Avenue. They're open Saturdays and Sundays in the afternoon to help you fix your bike and to help teach you how to fix your bike. They have gently used bikes that you can fix up and buy, and they also accept donations. Next door, check out some radical literature at the Spore Print Info Shop, 172 East Fifth Avenue. And on Sundays, stop by the Info Shop for a free dinner, courtesy of Food Not Bombs, Arawak City.
And again, come to the Carriage House. We have the Fourth Hand Bicycle Shop. We steal the bikes from the Third Hand because they're really nice kind of pacifist people. And then we resell them.
So, Shoshana, what do you think about bike riding in Columbus?
It's fun.
Yeah, what's the best part about riding a bike in Columbus, Ohio?
Seeing Bob Taft.
The way what?
The wind blowing at your face.
Oh, the wind blowing at your face.
And the cars honking at you.
Oh, that's...
The cars honking.
That's no fun.
To be able to see the former governor in those really tight bike pants.
Yes, Bob Taft. I used to run into Bob Taft on the bike path. It was always a thrill.
The only good thing I've ever heard about Bob Taft.
Well, he looked like a cross between Bucky Beaver and Homer Simpson riding around there. So it was fun to run into him. It was interesting. He was wearing tight little pants, yes. And sometimes he was in a tutu. So, Shoshi, where do you ride your bike when you ride your bike around town?
I ride it to Montrose Elementary School or Jeffrey Mansion.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. Now, I was in... Yes.
Or Grader's or Giuseppe's.
Oh, all the high spots.
Do you have a Grader's card?
I have a Sweet Rewards card and a gift card.
Oh, my God!
So, Shoshana, what is the most important issue today that you think we need to discuss? Okay, we'll run with that.
Ben and Jerry's are greater. Which is better?
Grader's is much better.
Okay, go ahead.
I think the oil spill is important to discuss, and I think other things are important to discuss.
Oh, okay. Other things. So let's talk about some other things.
I have a question for Shoshi. So a lot of times politics is totally run by men. It's totally male dominated. And a lot of decisions that affect women are made completely by men. So I had an idea. I thought, women have the right to vote. We can vote. But I thought, there are a lot of things that affect women of all ages, and people your age don't have maybe the ability to have a political effect on that. So I was talking earlier to you about what if we had a council of women ages 8 to 80 that would decide issues that affect women, and it could actually be a branch of the government, or it could be like a women's senate or something. There could be like two women from every state, or a couple women from every state, and it could be women who are really young, such as yourself. What do you think about that? Would that work? I mean, you have an opinion, don't you?
Yes, but would it be like a meeting thing, or just?
There would be meetings. There would be lots of meetings. Trust me.
You could just text.
And they would vote and stuff.
Yeah, you would maybe find out, you know, what was going on that was important, and you could vote on things and make policy, make laws. Make laws. And even if you don't have like a legal background, you're 11, right? So you don't have a legal training, but you still have
arrested at least once with Harvey.
A legal background, but you have an opinion, and you have a conscience, and you know like what affects you as a human being. And you know,
personally,
you can.
I think women are much stronger than men.
Uh huh.
So
anyways, yeah.
Well, do you have a couple words to describe the boys in your school?
Ugh, gross, stupid, annoying.
Right, do we really want to let them run things?
I think that if they had a voting decision, that not me, but maybe some of the younger kids, like the 8-year-olds, would not make a very smart choice because they wouldn't understand it.
Mm-hmm. Well, what if we gave the boys 3/5 of a vote?
That's good.
But it's a women's council, so there wouldn't be any boys.
So it would just be the women.
Do you think that women should run the world without the benefit of men?
Well, only some men.
Should men simply be locked up in cages for breeding purposes?
Sounds like fun, but probably not, right?
Yeah. Well, at the women's council thingy, men wouldn't be allowed.
It would be mostly women. It would be pretty much women making decisions or making statements about things that affect women and affect the world, because stuff that affects the world affects women.
Yeah, a lot.
Well, do you think if women ran the world that there would be no more wars?
No. I think there... Well...
It'd be the final conflict, the war against the boys.
That's enough, Bob.
Do you think that
stop interrupting? Let Shoshana talk.
Do you think women do a better job of running the world than men?
Yes.
Why?
Because most of the time they're smarter.
Most of women are smarter than most men.
I have an idea. Maybe letting people run things together.
That'd be good.
Right? So you shouldn't necessarily exclude people.
Yeah.
But I mean, right now women have been excluded. And so that's what the problem is. It's not necessarily that women should run the world or that they would replace.
No.
I mean, if women just replaced men and doing what men are already doing, I think the world would still be in the same place that it is now. Right.
I think that it should just be equal, right?
Maybe if you kind of take into account the needs of everybody, you know, no matter how old they are or how young or they are, what color their skin is or what's between their legs, you could come up with something that would be a better solution for everybody. Like, you know, I'm against segregation, even as a white person. I don't think it's good for anybody. I don't think segregation is good for white people either.
No, it's not.
So, I mean, I would just say, you know, maybe we could kind of do a balancing and take into account a little bit better people's different perspectives and backgrounds. And, you know, maybe there could be a women's council. Maybe it could be, maybe we could just, you know, have a, you know, right now there have been hardly any female senators. Hillary Clinton's like one of the only female senators, right? There's been very little representation in the U.S. Senate. It's been almost exclusively men.
Well,
so maybe we should have a women's Senate.
We have three states that have both senators are women.
Okay,
which are California,
great.
Washington State, and Maine. I don't know if there are others. I think those three are the only ones.
Right.
But, you know, it's a good start at any rate.
But up to 1992, the most there had ever been were two.
Right.
Total? Oh.
Well, two in the entire...
Two.
Well, that's fair. Actually, 98% men, 2% women.
Right.
Right.
Now it must be about, what, 10 to 15% women, right? How many women senators are there?
Oh, it's I think it's in that 10 to 15. I remember when there was 11, which would make 11%. But the broader question is how many black senators
there are. There are no black senators at this point.
Wow.
Not
Jeez.
A one. I don't even think there's a Native American. He left, Ben Campbell. I don't think right. There's two Hispanics. I think they're both named Martinez, and one's from New Jersey,
well,
and one's from
Well, the even more important
Florida.
Question is how many aren't millionaires?
Well, that's, you know, well, how many aren't
Class,
Democrats
yeah.
or Republicans?
Well, other than Paul Wellstone was the only one I knew that wasn't a millionaire.
Wow.
And he was tragically assassinated.
Yeah, right. So, but then the question is, we actually have now, we have two independents, right? Bernie Sanders and the god-awful Joe Lieberman. We may actually get a third independent senator in this coming election from Florida. Charlie Crist, who may also be, by the way, gay, has a good chance.
That's usually something that politicians will drop out over, right? I'm secretly gay.
Well, I think the big turning point with gays in Congress was not Barney Frank, but there was a Republican congressman from Arizona who was outed as gay, and then he got reelected.
Great.
But what about Gary?
Was he married?
Yeah.
He was a Democrat from Cape Cod. That doesn't count.
Yeah.
That's too easy.
Asked, was he married?
Who?
The Republican that got reelected
once
he was outed.
Actually.
You know, because a lot of these guys are in the closet. They're, you know, and maybe the
or
big
like
scandal
Warren G.
is
Harding, the cloakroom.
You know, maybe the big scandal. People care a lot if politicians cheat on their wives. There's Tiger Woods cheated on his wife.
Well, I'm glad
you know?
We never
it's
had
a big
any
deal.
Gay presidents.
Well, we did actually.
I know.
James Buchanan was gay.
And then didn't he have a lover?
Well, the story is that.
Well, at least they've never taken over the FBI.
The previous vice president, the vice president under Franklin Pierce, I use the word under advisedly, was William Rufus King, and he was James Buchanan's boyfriend.
Ah.
But he died, and so poor James, there's one letter he wrote to a relative saying he was trying to find another man but couldn't.
Oh.
And then he's known as euphemistically as our only bachelor president.
Bachelor, that's nice.
But Andrew Jackson, who was a very gracious guy, shall we say, referred to James Buchanan as Miss Nancy, and the postmaster who delivered the mail to Rufus King and James Buchanan referred to them as Mr. and Mrs. Buchanan. So we have had a gay president.
Great.
The problem is that he was such a rotten president that the gays don't want to claim him.
And anyway. That's their right.
Yeah.
Well, as titillating as this discussion is, and I'm sure we should revisit it, we should wrap up. This has been Solartopia Fight Back with Harvey Wasserman, Bob Fitrakis, Shoshi Wasserman, and me, Connie Goodell Newton. Final thoughts?
Yes, United States Social Forum. Harvey and I will be up in Detroit, right. And on Wednesday and Thursday of the last week in June, we'll be presenting on election transparency.
Election protection.
Kobo Arena.
That's right.
Be there!
Or be square.
Right.
Great. Shosh, you want to say goodbye to all the smart boys out there?
What smart boys?
Bye.
Give them a little time.
All right. Thank you for listening in. This has been Fight Back Solartopia with Connie Bob, Shoshi.
Shoshi Wasserman.
And?
Fight Back.
Peace.